invite your attention to the book of Genesis, chapter 29. We've been working our way, looking at the lives of some of the patriarchs. And this morning we're finishing up looking at the life of Jacob, which covers a lot of territory as we look in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, as we look at the life of Jacob and then of all of his sons, etc. So I'm going to be reading Genesis chapter 9, the first 20 verses. Then Jacob went on his journey. Let me simply add, I'll review some of this in a moment, but Jacob cheated his brother, and he stole his brother's birthright and the blessing, and his brother hates him, and his father says, you're going to have to leave home. And so he's going on his way to his uncle Laban's. Jacob went on his journey, came to the land of the people of the east. As he looked, he saw a well in the field, and behold, three flocks of sheep lying beside it. For out of that well, the flocks were watered. The stone on the well's mouth was large, and when all the flocks were gathered there, the shepherds would roll the stone away from the mouth of the well, water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place. And Jacob said to them, my brother, where do you come from? And they said, we are from Haran. And he said to them, do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we do. He said to them, is it well with him? They said, it is well. And look, Rachel, his daughter, is coming with the sheep. He said, behold, it is still high day. It is not time for the livestock to be gathered together. Water for the sheep and go on and pasture them. But they said, we cannot until all the flocks are gathered together and the stone is rolled from the mouth of the sheep. And then we water the sheep. While he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. As soon as Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, Jacob came near and rolled the stone away from the mouth's well and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. You see what he's just done? Ordinarily, you have to wait till everybody's there, and the rest of the shepherds are waiting. But he sees this his cousin. He doesn't know. He's just finding this out. But he rolls the stone away so she can go ahead and water the sheep rather than waiting for everybody else. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and wept aloud. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's kinsman and that he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father. As soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob, his sister's son, he ran to meet him and embraced him, kissed him, and brought him to his house. And Jacob told Laban all these things, and Laban said to him, surely you are my bone and my flesh. And he stayed with him for a month. Then Laban said to Jacob, because you are my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me what your wages be. Now, young people, catch this. Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. He's only known her a month. Okay? Jacob loved Rachel. And he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. Laban said, it is better that I should give her to you than to anyone else, any other man. So stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love that he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, so the 7 years have passed, that I may go into her, for my time is completed. So Laban gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. Jacob gave his female servant Zilpah to daughter Leah to be her servant. And in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? Did I not serve you for Rachel? Why have you deceived me? Laban said, it is not so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one, and then I will give you the other also in return for serving me another 7 years. Jacob did so and completed her week, and then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Laban gave his female servant Bilhah to his daughter Rachel to be her servant. So Jacob went into Rachel, and he loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served Laban for another 7 years. I love the Old Testament, and I love Old Testament stories. And sometimes we read really quickly and you miss some of the things that are going on. And I discovered when I started teaching Old Testament at Geneva that we had a number of students who thought the Old Testament wasn't very interesting, and it wasn't very relevant, and they were kind of found it boring. And so one of the things you have to do, and I discovered that from my professor, Richard Pratt, is he has a book called God Gave Us Stories. Why is so much of what we know about God and about Christ and about being a follower of Jesus comes through the stories? So that the amount of story in the Old Testament, the amount of story in the Gospels, is significant. A number of weeks ago, I started this brief series. Well, it's brief in terms of what I'm doing. Challenged by Jerry Bridges about the awe of God. And I talked about God's awe and being overwhelmed with the awe of God and His majesty. And then I just started thinking about this whole thing of awesome encounters. Times when God meets people in encounters, and as you read through the Old Testament, they're strange encounters. Some of them really overwhelming, some of them kind of quiet. I shared this with the elders the other night, that as I started thinking about this, and I've got a whiteboard downstairs, and I started putting them down, I have 16 awesome encounters, all right? We're only doing 4 now because we started the other series in March, but if I ever get opportunity, I'm going to do some more of those. We've looked at Abraham. We've looked at Isaac last week, and today we're looking at Jacob. And thank you, Rick, for picking a psalm which talks about us as the descendants of Jacob. So as we read the story, at the end, I'll come back to this. You are in this story at some place, maybe more than one place. It's not just interesting things. No. Why is that? Because it talks about relationship with God. And when we were introduced to Jacob last week, we noted that he was a twin and he was born second, but he was grasping his brother's heel. And that ends up with his name. It means the grasper, the grabber. It gets used a little bit further to mean he's always looking out for himself. He's a deceiver. And then the story goes on. You begin to discover this. If you'll notice that one of the things I've said in the outline is that we've entered this account with Jacob and Laban, and one of the things you're going to discover is the deceiver meets his match. Right? So here's what's going on. He connives to get his brother's birthright, tricks his father into giving him Esau's blessing by pretending to be Esau. His mother gives him an animal skin, so his brother Esau was hairy and a outdoorsman. And so Jacob said, if I go in, it's not going to work. He said, well, she gives him some of Esau's clothing because it will smell like he's been out. Okay, gives him some skin to put on his father. Said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the skin is the son of Esau and the smell is the son of Esau. And twice Jacob says, no, I am Esau. He's lying to his father. And one of the worst pieces of deception is when his father says, how'd you get the game so quickly? The Lord your God helped me. See, he doesn't mind taking God's name in vain. I mean, this is just the twisted nature of Jacob's personality. And so he's taken the birthright, and now he's deceived his father, and he's gotten the blessing, and Esau hates him. And Jacob has to leave, because his brother will kill him. And that's an underlying piece, is this whole next story. Because when we get to the end, he's coming back, and now he has to face Esau again. So on the way to meet his uncle, God meets Jacob. Has this dream, we looked at last week, of the ladder of angels of God ascending and descending. We still know that in the New Testament, Jesus makes that as a reference to himself, the one who stands between God and man. And God meets Jacob, and God makes some promises. He makes promises of a land, makes promises of descendants, of being a blessing to others, of God's presence and protection, and a return. God is renewing the promises to Abraham, now to Jacob. And it's interesting, as Jacob is going on, he keeps naming places, and he names this place Bethel, house of God. That will become significant, because as we go on in the story, God will keep referring to himself as the God of Bethel. So this is the God. God, I'm the one who made the promises. Here's where you are, but here's what I'm going to do next. So Jacob gets to be with Laban. I don't know if you're reading the subtlety or hearing the subtleties I read. The deceiver meets his match. He meets his beautiful cousin Rachel at the well. He's there for a month, and he said, well, his uncle said, you should work for me. What are your wages? Give me Rachel. I'm in love with Rachel. So, okay, you're going to work 7 years, right? And Genesis notes that he's so in love with Rachel that 7 years seem like a few days. So the time comes for the wedding. He's worked this 7 years. Okay, now it's time for me and Rachel to be married. And they go through the wedding. Jacob enters the wedding tent that night, anticipating his beautiful bride, Rachel. And we're not quite sure how Laban did this, right? But he swaps the sisters. So between the wedding ceremony and the time it goes into the wedding tent, it's all dark and stuff. But Laban has switched Leah, and this, which one thing's interesting means Leah was part of this deception as well. So they're there, and he wakes up in the morning, and in daylight he discovers, behold, it's Leah. And so he goes out. He's irate. Why? Because his father, his uncle, just tricked him. Now, there's an interesting little side piece here. When Jacob woke up that morning and discovered that it was Leah instead of Rachel, it was the first time he understood how his father felt when he discovered he'd given the blessing to Jacob instead of to his brother Esau. It's like, whoa. See, he's met his match, but in the sovereignty of God. What does Jacob need to understand? He needs to understand what it's like to be deceived and tricked. And Laban's argument is, well, in our culture, the older sister has to be married first. Excuse me. So that's his argument. But Leah has to be complicit in this as well. And this is going to be, so now what you have is you've got these two wives, two sisters in the same house with one husband. I mean, you can just go, that's not going to work well. And it doesn't. Sometimes people say, well, there's an awful lot of husbands, men with many wives. I'm like, yeah. And it's never a good situation. The subtlety is, this does not work very well, right? And so this is the first thing. So Laban has tricked Jacob in terms of his wife. And then he continues to work for Laban. And Laban's a schemer. Laban and Jacob, you know, it's so interesting. Jacob has met his match, maybe even more than his match. So as he starts to work, he's keeping the flocks, right? And after Rachel has Joseph, which is another long story, Jacob is working, and his wages keep getting, well, do this, and then so he's managing the flocks. And finally, the flocks are getting big, and Jacob and Laban agree, well, let's divide them out. And it's an interesting story because they're usually either black or white, right? And they keep finding some speckled ones. And so Laban says, okay, get all the speckled ones. And then Laban takes the speckled ones and moves them a 3 days' journey. That's the kind of thing that's going on here. And Jacob then has an interesting process by which the ones that he gets to keep begin to multiply better and faster than the ones that belong to his uncle. And Jacob is becoming, his uncle is becoming very wealthy and very prosperous, but so is Jacob becoming wealthy and prosperous. And at some point they agree to divide the flock, right? But Jacob will note in chapter 31 of Genesis that Laban has changed his wages 10 times. Well, work for this, we'll give you this. Oh, well, no, in second thought, work for that, we'll give you that. It's like, and so he's really realizing what's going on. And then all of a sudden he discovers Laban's sons are accusing him of cheating. Well, no, you did this and you've gotten wealthy at my father's expense. Everything Laban really has is because Jacob has been managing all of it. And finally, in the midst of this, Jacob's sensing his brothers think he's cheating him. His father-in-law is not so sure. And then God appears to Jacob again. Genesis 31. God said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. I'm taking you away, and I will bring you back. And now God is doing that. And in verse 13 it says, I am the God of Bethel. Remember when you were leaving, and I appeared, and you set this monument up, and you called it Bethel, because I was with you. Now, I'm the God who appeared when you anointed a pillar and made a vow. Now go from this land and return to the land of your kindred. Return to the promised land that God had promised Abraham. So, how's he going to do this? He's got, by this point, He's got wives and concubines. He's got sons and sons' wives. He's got it's a huge number of people. And he's got all of these sheep, and he's got herdsmen, etc. How's he going to be able to? He wants to leave his father, but he knows if he does it and his father knows about it, his father-in-law knows about it, he's going to get caught. So he realizes that Laban will probably not let him go willingly. So he waits till Laban is off shearing sheep. And here's an interesting note. Where is he shearing sheep? A 3 days journey away. Now just stop and think about that. They are so prosperous and are grazing in so much territory that Laban has to go a 3 day journey away to shear some of the sheep. And what happens is Laban away is away. Jacob comes to Rachel and Leah. Everybody says, okay, pack up. We're moving. And he's got herdsmen that help us. They literally, Laban's out here and Jacob is taking off with everybody. And he flees. And finally, see what happened is Jacob tricks Laban by not telling him that he's going to leave. He's taking everything and he's leaving. So Laban hears about it. His son's going, oh, Jacob ran off and he took his flocks and he took everything with him. Right? And Laban is angry, right? Why? Because his scheming hasn't worked. So he starts to pursue Jacob. Now he's already 3 days behind and now he's got to get there. But God came to Laban in a dream by night and said, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. He's ready. He's going to try to get even. Remember, I'm the God who will protect you. And God doesn't say anything to Jacob at this point. God says, he's already told Jacob he should leave. Now God speaks to Laban. And Laban is angry that Jacob left. But Jacob notes Laban's mistreatment for the last 20 years. So keep in mind, 7 years for Rachel, 7 years for Leah, and 6 more years. They've been there 20 years. All this has been going on. And then Jacob's having this dialogue. It's a little tense dialogue. Okay, and Jacob finally says, if the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, had not been on my side, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. You've been cheating me for 20 years. If it had been up to you, you'd have sent me away with nothing, even though all your prosperity has come. God saw my affliction, the labor of my hands, and God rebuked you last night. See, God has intervened in what's going on. And so Laban sort of cools off, says, okay. So, and then he said, well, let's make a covenant. So they've traveled, this far. Said, let's make a covenant. See, Laban's stuff is back here and Jacob's moving this way. Let's make a little covenant. So they agree. Let's make a little pile of stones right here. Well, I'm taking a moment because there's a lot of confusion about this verse, okay? Let's take a little monument right here and we'll make an agreement. Okay, well, here's the agreement. May the Lord watch between you and me while we apart from one another. Now, sometimes people hear that and say, oh, isn't that nice? And you can find those things called the Mizpah blessing. And, you're parting with some friend and may the Lord watch between us. That's not what this is about. This is the boundary line. And God is watching. May the Lord watch between me. You cross this boundary and I will slaughter you. I cross this boundary. This is not a nice covenant. This is a threat covenant. Here's the boundary. You stay on that side. And you just have to understand, it's a covenant. It's an agreement. But it's not an agreement of love and care. It's an agreement of destruction. If I cross this, you can destroy me. You cross this, I can destroy. It's like, see, what I want you to see the drama in the story? You get all this stuff going on. Where is God when Laban is doing all of this? Well, God's waiting his time. And now God said, this is enough. You need to leave, and you need to stay here and leave him alone. And Laban knows that. Jacob reminds him, God spoke to you about this. And so then he sets another monument. This is called Peniel. I have seen the face of God, yet my life has been delivered. What's going on? Jacob is once again experiencing awe. My life was at great risk, And I've seen the face of God, and I've seen God doing things. Now, what's Jacob? So Jacob finally has Laban and wins it off his back. See, get the drama sort of, okay, whew, got that chapter. Oh, next chapter, which direction am I going? God is sending me back to the land of my father and my grandfather. Who lives in that land? My brother Esau. And Jacob, he sends some men ahead, and they said, by the way, he said, just go see where Esau is. And they come back and say, Esau's coming. And he's got 400 men. Okay? That's like his personal army. Jacob's got wives, children, and shepherds. Right? And Jacob is recognizing what's going on. And so you just get this sense. And then when Jacob has started to move forward here, and you see some things are happening in Jacob's relationship with God. Originally, what you find is that Jacob is afraid of Esau. Here we go. And he sends messengers ahead, discovers Esau's coming with 400 men. And then in the midst of this, you get this little testimony. Here's the liar, the cheater, etc. But in Genesis 32, Jacob finally acknowledges God's grace. Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, return to your country, to your kindred, that I may do you good. Now listen to this. I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two camps. See, what is this? Why are you a cheater and a deceiver and a liar? Because you've got a sense of entitlement. Well, I deserve this. It doesn't matter if I do it dishonestly. I'm entitled to this. And now on the way back, here's this admission of Jacob's. You have dealt graciously with me. I am not worthy of all of these things. And then he divides the flocks and the family. He actually divides them into two groups. And he sort of knows Esau, so he sent them ahead. Now he's really recognizing something of God, but he's still a schemer. Why is he sending them ahead? When Esau sees these wives and all these children, he said, what is it? Oh, we're Jacob's. Really wouldn't it be nice for Esau to slaughter his brother's family and all his flocks. So it's like, maybe when he sees these, that's what Jacob's thinking. Maybe I can soften him up a little bit. So he's sent them on, hoping that when Esau sees them, he'll show some pity. And then Jacob wrestles with God. The family's gone on the other side of the river, okay? And a man comes and wrestles with him until daybreak. And this is a divine appearance. It's not an ordinary man. It's at least an angelic being, or it's an appearance of God. But Jacob wrestles. And at one point, Jacob's prevailing. And the man that he wrestles with dislocates Jacob's hip. That's the first thing he does. And Jacob still won't give up. He says, I will not let you go until you give me a blessing. And the man gives Jacob the blessing. And then he changes Jacob's name. He changes Jacob's name to Israel. The man who strives with God. Who's wrestled with God and prevailed. In other words, he won't let him go. He's lost the fight, okay? But he won't let him go. And so Jacob sets up another memorial. Peniel, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been delivered. Again, he's got this sense of awe. It's a dramatic thing. So Jacob has this encounter. Two things happen. He's going to walk with a limp the rest of his life. And his name is changed. Grandpa, why do you walk with a limp? Ah, my children, that's because I encountered God one day and I wrestled with God. And before my name was changed, I was not a very nice person.
And God encountered me. And I knew that I needed God's blessing, and God blessed me. And I became a different person. And what a great opportunity. By the way, that's the pattern. When Israel comes out of Egypt, and God's telling them how to observe the sacrifices and the ceremonies, etc. And God then gives the instruction in Deuteronomy. When your children say to you, "Why do we do all this stuff?" Say to them, "We were slaves in Egypt, and God brought us out by His mighty arm. And God is the God of grace, who brought us through the wilderness, who has brought us into this promised land." Parents, grandparents, it's a great opportunity. As your children grow, take advantage of the opportunity to talk about encounters with God. It's been interesting for me, as my youngest grandchild is now 9. And her brother is actually doing a thing with the scouts on it's a scout badge on religion, and so I've been asked to kind of spend some time. At one point, I was like, you know, I need to tell Matthew about this. You know, Matthew, let me tell you how I came to know Christ. I was not a particularly nice person. See, it's so hard to tell your children that. By the way, excuse me, they already know that. Okay, it's not a surprise. Okay, but you tell them. See, this is what's going on. Why do you walk through it? Because I had an encounter with God. I was striving with God, and then God blessed me. He's a different person now. He's going to be called both things. So we'll sing the Psalms of the children of Jacob and the children of Israel. Which is it, both? Okay. But it's this great thing that takes place. And now, because he's had this encounter, his name has changed. Now, as he anticipates going to meet Esau, he's basically had two groups of his family in front, and he's coming last. Now, he goes to the front. He's had an encounter with God. There's going to be anything coming from Esau, he's going to protect his family. And he's going to demonstrate to Esau that he's been changed. Esau sees Jacob. It's been 20 years. Esau's obviously a prophet. He comes running and embraces Jacob. And then he inquires, well, what's this great procession? And in essence, at least part of that procession is a peace offering to Esau. Please, you know, you read between the lines. I know what I did, and it was awful. I'm sorry. Please accept this as a peace offering. And Esau says, "I don't need it, man. Please accept it." And Esau accepts it. See, it's a gift to Esau from Jacob, and it's a sign of repentance. But it's also, see, what did God said to Jacob? When I take you away, I'm going to make you a blessing to others. And now Jacob, rather than being someone who's always taking, wants to be a blessing, and he wants to be a blessing to Esau. Esau accepts the gift. The brothers are then reconciled. Jacob, you see, has indicated some sorrow over his treatment of Esau. And Esau is delighted to be reunited to Jacob. And then finally, where does Jacob end up? Back at Bethel. Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan. This is basically, he's back where he started. This is the place of God. And he erects another altar. He's famous for altars and stone piles. He erects an oil and he calls it, basically the name is God, the God of Israel. That name's never been used before. Outwardly, see, I went away, Jacob, and I came back, Israel. Fascinating story. So what? What about Jacob and you? And I'm going to give you some help, but you are in the Jacob story. Can you find yourself? You are in the Jacob story. So let's just start this, okay? Are you still Jacob, the liar and the deceiver? Because if you are, then you need to find the God of Jacob and wrestle with him, not physically, but wrestle with him in terms of what does he want from you and what does he want from your life, and how can you find his blessing? And how can he change you from what you were? And I encourage you, don't let him go until he blesses you. Or maybe you're like Jacob the wanderer. You've started, and God started something, and you've got some promises, and you're wandering, but you haven't quite settled yet. You need to ask God to reveal Himself to you, so you no longer have to wander. And pray that in your wanderings that you'll meet God. Pray that. We know of some of our own children, grandchildren, young people who are wandering. Pray that the God of Jacob would find them in their wandering. Are you Jacob the oppressed? Jacob's life wasn't all easy once he left, even though he's got these promises of God, but he's got this father-in-law and these brothers-in-law and all of these kinds of things. And you need to ask God to deliver you from those who would oppress you, but you'd also have God reveal Himself to you. And God is not absent in Jacob's difficult times. God's at work at some things Jacob isn't thinking about. Or are you Jacob the wrestler? You know, somehow he has a sense. Why does he just not quit the wrestling? But he hangs on. I will not let you go until you bless me. You may know that you need God. You may know that He can bless you, but you haven't wrestled with Him yet. The young people, children, where are you in your relationship with God? Have you had to wrestle? Do you need to wrestle and say, all right, God, you've got a purpose. I see this in the background, the family that I'm in. But I'm not sure I want it, but I really do need it. May you see your need for God. Or are you Jacob the limper? What does walking with a limp reveal? That Jacob's really human. Reveals some humility. I no longer can do everything that I used to be able to do. And people can see your limp. Some of us have physical things that people can see and realize we're not all together like we would like to think we were. Or they can see your non-physical limp. And what we need to do is, you know, they say, what is that? Well, that's an encounter that I had. You know, sometimes God uses those limp to humble us. So when people see it, and they kind of, you know, graciously inquire, do you talk about God who humbled you, how He humbled you to change you? All of us, I've got several books on leading with a limp. It's a great thing for leaders. You know, once you've really messed up sometime, go from there. Learn from it, but don't pretend it didn't happen. Yeah, I like thinking about that. You know, and just say, why do you do that? You know, Dad, why don't you get along with your brother? Well, because I did some nasty things. Or, what's going on? Like, see, those are opportunities. Say, here's who I was, and here's what God is doing. Right? Are you Israel the prevailer? See, if you are a follower of Jesus, you may limp, but you will also be blessed. And one of the interesting things is, as you see this, I'm more and more persuaded. You know, it's so fascinating to me. I've done a couple of the word studies. If I check, put in Israel, I can find out, you know, there are probably 59 Psalms that talk about Israel. But if I talk about Jacob and I start looking at the Psalms, there frequently is the same thing. And in some of the Psalms, you get Jacob and Israel very close together. Why? Because if you are Israel, you are still Jacob. You have not been completely delivered yet. You have been delivered, but there's still some Jacobness that is there. Why? Because you're in the process, you're on a journey. This isn't the end of Jacob's journey. And that's the challenge for us. We worship and we serve, but we're still limp. And Jacob has these awesome encounters. And there's multiple, and you know, most of them aren't big and splashy. Some are kind of private. You know, when God appears on Mount Zion, everybody, that one's big. You know, but God appears quietly to Moses in the wilderness. And God appears multiple times to Abraham and to Jacob. And the other thing that's really important. What's the end of the Jacob story? The end of the Jacob story is found in Matthew chapter 1. And Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot. Jacob is in the ancestry of Jesus. Messed up people. There's a lot of messed up people, men and women, who are in the ancestry of Jesus. which means they're not there because they're naturally good people. And it's all about grace. There's some really bad people. And some really, what are supposed to be the saints of the Old Testament, you run through that list and you got Abraham and you got Isaac and you got Jacob and you got David. It's like a lot of messed up people there. That's the point. The history and the genealogy is all about grace, which means if you're here this morning and you're struggling and you're not sure you've got it together or things aren't going well, you're in the right place. Because you can encounter the God of Jacob, the God of Israel, who sent the seed of Jacob, even Jesus, to redeem people who were like Jacob. Grace conquers sin because God is awesome. Let's pray. Father, these are stories that we often know some of the facts, can memorize all kinds of things, but we need to get into the heart of the story. And the heart of the story is about you, the God who makes covenants and the God who pursues, the God who brings people to the end of themselves. And you take Jacob when he has no hope of prevailing on his own, and you wrestle with him and you give him a sense of his need for blessing, and then you bless him and transform him. Father, let us be those people, whether it's major things where we need to be changed or less dramatic things, but still places to be changed. May you be the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jesus to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.